Amen. What a blessing. Thank you, Barry and Sarah. And good to have Mary playing. What a blessing. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 20. And a familiar passage, if you are a student of the Word of God, a good passage, a passage that is always encouraging to me. I love the battles in the Bible because I like to see our side win. Amen. I love it. I love it when God intervenes and God does things and we're outnumbered. You know, the reason I like that is that's how life is. You know, the devil fights us and many, many times we're outnumbered. Many times it looks like we're going to, you know, oh, how are we going to make it? And then God, you know, he comes through and we win the battle and I love it. And that, this is one of those battles. And I want to talk to you about the God of the hills and the valleys. Father, I pray you bless the preaching this morning. We need your help, Lord, and I pray you'll guide us into the truth of the Scripture, and I pray for your will to be done in our lives. If there's anyone here today that's not saved, I pray you'll save them today. But Lord, by far, most of the folks here are already Christians, and so I pray you'll encourage us, you'll help us to keep fighting the battle, and God, help us to know that we have a God that can handle the hills, the valleys. He can handle anything in our lives. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Syria here is going to war against God's people. And as often they did, and we'll look at several different battles in the Bible that took place. And one thing you'll notice if you read your Bible, and especially if you read your Old Testament, as far as these battles, which obviously are a picture of the Christian life in many ways. But you'll notice, you know, the enemies just keep coming. They just keep coming. I mean, I'm, you know, it's funny, Christians, I counsel a lot of folks and they say, preacher, it just seems like, you know, I get a victory and then all of a sudden here's the devil again fighting me. I mean, it seems like I take on one enemy and some habit or some sin, some problem or some kind of discouragement, and I take on that enemy and I win that battle and then boy, it's almost like just a few days later and there's another enemy, you know, another enemy challenging me, another battle facing me, and then I win that battle, and praise God, you know, victory is wonderful, but then it's like there's another enemy, and now I got to fight that battle, and that's how it is in the Christian life. I mean, it is just battle after battle after battle, and one of the things we'll see as we go through the book of Nehemiah is the Christian life as a life of building and battling, and it's just over and over and over again. You got to build, and as you build, you got to battle. And that is how it is. It's a constant war. Syria here is attacking Israel, and the Syrians, you know, they've got it all figured out. Ben-Hadad is a military man, and he knows strategy and everything. And in verse 23, he's got it all figured out here. And they said their gods are gods of the hills. Now, again, you're talking about a religion that believes that, you know, in all kinds of gods. They believe in all kinds of different idols and different things to worship and all that. And really, it's kind of like somebody that believes in good luck charms. I got news for you, folks. God's not a good luck charm. God is a personal God. He's a God that talks to us. He's a God that speaks to us. He commands us and he leads us and he guides us. And he is very, very able to defeat the enemy around us. But they don't understand. The Syrians have this all figured out. And they said their gods are gods of the hills. In other words, God's people had won many, many battles in the hills. They've been able to have the advantage as the enemy would maybe come up the hill. They would be able to take them out and shoot them down and fight them better in the hills. And so the Syrians, you know, they said, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. Isn't that interesting how they say that? You know, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger. They're not giving a whole lot of credit to the gods, are they? By the way, that's the way their gods were, the Syrians. They didn't know what it was to have a personal God that really could deliver them from anything. Do you know that most of the world has no clue what a personal God would be like that could really deliver them from anything? I mean, they count on a little Mary out in the yard, and they put a booth over so she doesn't get wet, put a light in it at night so she doesn't get scared, and they count on that little relics maybe on the shelf inside their house or maybe the ashes of grandma or something like that to help get them through things. But they know deep down their gods really can't help them out of anything. You know, I'm so glad I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And He's a Savior that can help me. And He can give me victory. And He can get me out of whatever kind of a situation, whatever kind of battle that I'm in. And so they say this. They say, you know, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain. And by the plain, they're talking about down in the valley, away from the hills, away from the mountaintops, down in the valley, and surely we should be stronger than they. He's got it all figured out. I mean, the strategists got together and they said, you know, we can work this thing out and we'll lure them out into some valley and we will destroy them. They'll be lower than us in the valley. We'll be able to rush on them and we'll be able to defeat them. Well, that was a plan. It all sounded good, didn't it? I mean, it just sounded like it made a lot of sense. But they made a huge mistake, and that was this. They thought that God was only with them in the hills. They thought that, God will only help them when they're up on those hills. God will only be with them. Their gods can only help them on the hills. You know, it's interesting. Probably a lot of people at your workplace think that about you. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, I mean, when you're up, you're up. I mean, when you're up, everything seems to be going well, and you praise the Lord about everything. You know, you got money in the bank, you got a raise, the boss said that you're going to get a little overtime, and everything is going in your favor. Kids are making good grades in school. You went to the doctor, and he says you're still alive, and guess what? You're going to live a little longer, and you're excited, and you're thrilled, and you're up in the hills, and everybody says, wow, what a great Christian. But the problem is, when you're down in the valley, it's a whole different language that's spoken. You go into work and people say, hey, how you doing? You say, oh, not so good. Everything's going wrong. And they say, oh, my. You know what the world, I think the world thinks? They think people like that, your God's not any different than theirs. Because anybody can be up when they're on top of the hills. But you know, God's always wanting to prove something. He's always wanting to show who He is. Amen? And He's God. Okay, He's not just a little carving of wood. He's not just a little plaster cast item that you set out in your yard. He's God. And God's always wanting to show His strength. And so Ben-Hadad did not realize that God is a God of both the hills and the valleys. Oh, would to God some Christians would let the world know that our God is God in the hills, but He's also God in the valleys. And of course, the Bible says, it even gets better, and that's the thing that I just love about this. In verse 26, it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. They're all there, and they're now in the valley. And the Syrians, I guarantee, they think, this is it. We are going to defeat them. There is no way in the world their gods are going to ignore them, because their God's only there in the hills, and we got them down in the valley. We're going to defeat them here. And not only that, the Bible says the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids, but the Syrians filled the country. Not only are they in the valley, but they are totally outnumbered. I mean, they do not stand a chance. Now, I'll be honest with you, folks. That's the very best place that they could be. When you just do not stand a chance, that's when you start looking for God to come in. That's when you start looking for God to do something. That's when the children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was coming on them with their chariots and with their swords, and they were going to cut them into pieces, and God parts the Red Sea. That's when God is at His very best. Oh, the Syrians said, we got them in the valley. We got them outnumbered. We're going to kill them. No, you're not. No, Ben-Hadad, in fact, you're headed for a rocky road. In fact, Ben-Hadad, God's going to show you who He is. I want to just give you 3 points this morning, and I trust it'll help you today. I want you to know who God is. I want you to know how God works and understand, really, I think, a simple truth. Number one, let's look at the hills. The hills. I think the hills here represent victory. Obviously, to the Syrians, they looked at the hills as being a place of victory for God's people. They looked at the hills as being a place where God obviously had blessed them over and over again. They looked at the good things. They looked at the positive things. They looked at many of the victories of the children of Israel and saw that they were in the hills, and there was shouting and there was rejoicing, and the people were praising, and God had blessed them in a great, great way. And it was easy for the people to think God is a God of the hills. But you know, as you look back on God's people, and if you were to look back at their history years before that, there were many miraculous victories that God had given them. Of course, leaving Egypt, a miraculous deliverance from Egypt with the plagues and everything that took place. I mean, certainly that was a wonderful victory. The possession of Canaan and how entering into to the land and fighting the Battle of Jericho, which really wasn't a much of a fight because God knocked the walls down. Amen. And again, God was doing a great thing there. And certainly, those were some wonderful, wonderful victories. And no doubt, God was with them then. And in 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer goes out against the garrison of the Philistines. And there's no way they're going to win that battle. And Jonathan, I love it. You know, he goes out there and he says, you know, if we live, we live. If we die, we die. We're going to fight. And God blessed them. And they whooped that garrison of the Philistines. And it brought on a victory. And of course, in 1 Samuel 17, you talk about going against, if the betting people were there, they would have said, there is no way in the world David's going to whoop Goliath. I mean, Goliath's a soldier. Goliath is a giant. Goliath, I mean, he has somebody to carry his shield. It's so massive. And there's no way David is going to go out there and win that battle. But boy, what a great victory when David not only uses his sling and slings a stone and hits Goliath in the head and kills him. But then David takes Goliath's own sword and cuts off his head. And can you imagine David, who wasn't a real big guy, but he's got that head and he's carrying that around. And oh, the people are shouting for the great victory. 1 Samuel 30. A great battle against the Amalekites, and a battle was won. Again, I want you to notice how the enemies just keep coming. Amalekites, Philistines, Ammonites, you know, they just keep coming. The Syrians, and they just keep coming and fighting. It's no, obviously not a strange thing that in the Middle East, everybody's fighting against Israel. I mean, come on, folks, read your newspaper. Listen to the news. Listen to it for the past who knows how many years. It's always been that way. Everybody just keeps coming after them. I feel like sometimes as a Christian, the old enemies just keep coming. But guess what? I've got a string of victories. Got a whole bunch of victories where God has done some great things. And certainly, you know, those hilltime experiences, those mountaintop experiences, we like it. I like victory. And I like to see God working in a great way. Just a few weeks ago had our revival and saw so many great victories. Still seeing some. And revival takes place. And you know, the world maybe watches and says, hey, there's somebody that got a victory. There's somebody. Boy, their families come together and they're doing pretty well. And boy, those kids are doing pretty well. And they're doing better in school. And maybe the world looks at it and says, obviously, they're up. God must be in their life. You say, by the way, and let me just say, there's nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that at all. And the truth is, people are watching, and we ought to praise God for victories. I get so brokenhearted over Christians who will not praise God for what God has done. Christians who will not praise God for the hilltop experiences, the mountaintop experiences, when God answers a prayer, when God provides a way, when God takes the impossible and makes it all very, very possible. And people watch and the world watches and says God is obviously with them. I think about many of you work in factories. And Dale Bowman has testified where he works how how people will watch and they'll watch Dale and he'll have a blessing, something God did, and God helped him here and God helped him there. By the way, he comes every Sunday night to our men's prayer time. I remember when he started coming to men's prayer time, and at first he didn't give testimonies. But you know, you hear testimonies and you learn to kind of watch for what old God's doing in your life. And now Dale goes, he goes to work and gives testimonies and tells me, you know, God did this and God did that and God did this. Well, quit bragging about yourself and what you did and give God some credit for what he did. Amen. And people watch and they say, wow, you know, he's on the hilltop. And it would be a natural thing for people to say, their God's a God of the hills. No question about it. Their God. I mean, God is blessing that person. He's got some good things going on. God is the God of the hills. But number two, we see the valleys. And valleys are something none of us like. Valleys are something that none of us are look forward to. I look out across the congregation this morning and there are many of you in valleys today. There are many of you that you come to church and really you're just saying, I've got to have something to help me get through this week. Some of you tomorrow you face some very difficult trials. Some of you this week you already know that it's coming. Maybe you're waiting on that bill to come in the mail that you know you just cannot pay. For some, it's a trip to the doctor's office and you're afraid of what they're going to tell you. For others, it's a relationship that has gone bad and you're in a valley and you don't know what to do about it and you're very, very concerned about that valley. But let me say something to you today. Just as God is the God of the hills, He's also God of the valleys. Do not ever think that just because everything's going well, that's the only time God's present. Because it's not. I preached, I don't know how long ago, a while back, about valleys in the Bible. Several valleys are mentioned, and I thought about this, these valleys, and thought about those valleys. And, of course, the Valley of Siddim is where Sodom and Gomorrah was, a valley of sin. And maybe you're in a valley today because of some sin in your life. And I'm telling you, folks, sin always puts you in a valley. Sin will, it will never, ever, ever put you on a mountaintop. Sin is a liar. Sin is deceitful. Sin will make you think you're going to be on the mountaintop. But let me remind you, Moses, he forsook Egypt and the pleasure of sin, which would be for a season. And you may think, boy, that is, oh, this is so fun up here on this mountain. But I got news for you. Always at the end of the mountain is a valley. And it's just inevitable. Sin always puts you in a valley. Maybe today you're in a valley because of some sin in your life. Maybe you are defeated because of sin. Maybe you lost a victory because of sin. By the way, you can't blame God for that. God tells us not to sin. Amen. God warned us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God makes it very, very clear the wages of sin is death. God makes it very, very clear the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death, valleys, sorrow, pain, that always is a result of sin. Then there was the Valley Eshkol. And that was where the people decided not to enter Canaan when God told them to enter in. I call that a valley of decision. And maybe today you're in a valley. Maybe today last night you wept before you fell asleep. And maybe your pillow is tear-stained today because you made a bad decision. You made a wrong decision. That's a valley. That's a valley. And by the way, everybody's been there. Everybody here. You know, we make bad decisions, wrong decisions. As the children of Israel did in the Valley of Eshkol, they made a wrong decision. Maybe it's the Valley of Kidron. Remember when David was being persecuted by his own son, Absalom, and he crossed this Valley of Kidron, crying, hurt, persecuted, I think confused. Maybe today you're in that valley, the valley of sorrow, pain, and you just don't understand why. Maybe it's the Valley of Elah that we just talked about, where David killed Goliath, but it was a place of fear because everyone else was scared to death of Goliath. Finally, David stood up and said, is there not a cause? But it was a valley of fear. Maybe you're in that valley today. Maybe it's the Valley of Achor, where Achan was punished for his sin. And maybe you're going through some punishment in your life for some sin that you committed. Valleys represent defeat. Valleys represent loss. Valleys represent hurt. Valleys represent pain. Valleys represent those things we do not like. And the sad thing is, for many, many Christians, and this is what I'm trying to get at today, for so many Christians, it's when you're in the valley, people say, wonder where their God is. He must only be the God of the hills. Because you go to work when everything's good and you're just so happy and so praising God and rejoicing. But then you wrecked your car and it's the end of the world. And everybody at work knows it. Hello? Your kids didn't do as well in school and boy, everybody at work knows it. And your family knows it. One of my fond memories of Bible college was faking my dad out, who was not saved. And he did not understand why in the world I would be at Bible college. What are you doing? You're ruining your life. What do you mean you're going to be a preacher? Dad, I believe this is what God wants me to do. And you know what? We went to Bible college and Dad never knew there was ever a trial. He had no idea of any of the trials that my wife and I had when we were in Bible college. Financial needs, he had no idea. Oh, sure, a couple times I had him, you know, I asked him to loan us some money and stuff. We always paid him back. But I never whined, never griped, never complained. You know, my dad never had any idea what a hill or a valley was as far as Christianity. He thought pretty much that, wow, you know, Christianity must always be up. The thing is, my dad eventually, as an unsaved man, many times he would say words like, well, that's a real blessing. And he had no idea what he was saying. He just heard us say it all the time. Because you know what? Everything was. Some of you aren't smiling right now. You ought to. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is God in the hills, and He's also God in the valleys. And just because you don't treat Him as God, because you're whining, griping, complaining, He's still God. And if you ever want that valley to change, then I got news for you. You would be best served to rejoice and to claim Him as God in that valley. Valleys represent defeat. The Syrians, Ben-Hadad, he had it all figured out. Their gods are gods of the hills. I wonder what people would say your gods are gods of. I wonder if people would recognize it. You know what? That person, they're safe. Even when things aren't going their way, they're still praising God. Even when things aren't going the way that they think they should, even when most people are down and discouraged, even when most people are griping and complaining, boy, that person, they just keep rejoicing and praising God. You say, well, you said you faked your dad out. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't spiritual enough to just rejoice back in those days all the time when I was in the valley, but Dad never knew I wasn't rejoicing. And guess what? My dad got saved and my dad is in heaven today. And I think a lot of it is because he knew that there was a God that was God in the hills and the valleys. And not just when everything's going well. Do you understand? God is God if things aren't going well. I didn't get any amen, so I'll just keep on it. When they're up, there's evidence of God's blessing. When they're down, I guess there's just no blessing happening, right? I guess God must just be asleep. Is that right? But see, look what God says. And God says totally different than that. And that's number three, the God of the hills and the valleys. In verse 28, the Bible says, there came a man of God, and he spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but He is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Some of you need to understand, God is allowing the valley in your life so you can know that He is the Lord. Do you understand? This man of God came to the king of Israel and said to the king of Israel, he's telling the king of Israel this, ye shall know that I am the Lord. Not only are they going to know it, but they're only going to know it for a short time because they're all going to die. But you're going to know it. I just don't like like my valley. I just can't handle this valley. It's just so bad. And you know what? You're never going to do anything for God, because you are going to whine and complain all the way through the valley, and you're never going to understand the power of God in the valley. He wants you to know who He is. And up on the mountaintop, you know, on a mountaintop, sometimes we start thinking we did it.
Well, you know, I have moved up in my job. Took some classes, did real well, got some A's, and boss looked at me and said, "What a very, very accomplished young man you are." Actually, he wouldn't say that to me. "What a very accomplished old man you are." Yes, yes, I have done a lot. I've worked very hard. Yes, I did want you to recognize my abilities. See, and we start thinking we're something. Nebuchadnezzar did that. Remember? He was on the mountaintop. He had a dream and saw an ending, and the man had a head of gold. And when the man of God told him that head of gold, you know who that is? That's you, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Wow, I am pretty golden." You know? And he said, "You know what? You're the greatest king that's ever lived." "I am. You're right." And Nebuchadnezzar, one day, he was out looking around and he saw how great of a king he really was, because his kingdom was huge. And he looked at the building and said, "Look what I've done." And God said, "You know what, Nebuchadnezzar? I think it's time for you to visit the valley for a while." And he did visit the valley. 7 years. He became insane. And they had to put him out in the backyard. The king, the greatest king that ever lived, as far as man's kingdoms are concerned. And he's out in the backyard grazing. He had nails like eagle talons. And I'm sure when they came and said, "Oh, king, what do we do about this?" He looked at him funny. He said, "Give me some grass." You know, ate some more grass. Had hair was like feathers on his back. I mean, he was a mess. We'd like you to meet our king. Well, maybe not today. He's having a bad day. They had to do that for 7 years. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know what Nebuchadnezzar had to figure out? Which he did. Because you know he knows what's going on. You know, as he's trying to get rid of the fleas, you know, he knows he's the king. But you know what else he's starting to learn? He's starting to learn who the real king is. Amen. I mean, in my mind, I envision Nebuchadnezzar out there and eats a big old clump of grass, and maybe he's getting rid of the fleas and everything. And in my mind, I imagine him out there. And you know, eventually he says, "You know, I didn't do anything, God. You did it all." That's what you need to learn in the valley. Amen. The God of the hills and the valleys. Somebody says, "Well, you know, God sure has been with me." Oh, you're talking about in the hills. Oh, yeah, it's so obvious. Well, what if you enter into a valley? You know what Christian growth is, folks? It's when you recognize God's with you then. And it's when you recognize that's when I need Him the most. I mean, when the bad things happen, when the trials happen, when somebody hurts you, it's when you say, "Oh, God, I've got to have you." He's there. Yeah, you're making lots of money. That's the hills. But you get sick and can't work. That's the valley. But you see, God says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." See? I have something better than a paycheck for you. It's God's grace. Oh, preacher, you don't. You know, I'm convinced some folks just need to go broke sometime. You say, "I'm there. I qualify." Amen. His grace is sufficient for you. We're spoiled rotten, folks. To be honest, we're spoiled rotten. I'll have a young person. They'll come, "Well, you know, I can't go to Bible college till I have all the money saved." You'll never have all the money saved. Never. You never will. How about praying your way through? How about begging God? Hello? How about asking God, "Hey, God, I need help. I'm in a valley. This bill's due. See, there's some people all the time, they get excited. I'll tell the story about the time Brenda and I, one morning we looked in the cupboards, and the cupboards were bare, and our guts were growling. Well, mine was. Women, you know, they don't do that. But and we prayed that morning, that evening, we prayed and asked God to help us, and nothing happened during the day, and that night we had nothing to eat. And there wasn't going to be anything to eat. And we're praying and asking God to help meet our needs. And God, we got to eat. And there's a knock on the door. And we open the door and there's no one there, but there's a sack of groceries on the step. You say, wow, that's really neat. But you're too busy whining and complaining to see the sack. It was neat. Because you know what? I even got Chips Ahoy cookies in that sack. And I got news for you. That wasn't a need, and it's not a need for you either, but it was sure good. I still carry some of that with me. That was a long time ago. It's good stuff, boy. And the times going to the little box there in the school, in the library, and opening my little combination, and oh God, make $10 appear. Please make it appear. Voila! $10. Now, it didn't really happen that way, but you know what? God did that. You say, boy, that's neat. Yeah, but you would never, ever, 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 ever allow yourself to be that broke where you'd have to do that. Because I'm not going to go to my account because I don't have the money all saved up. That's what I think of that. Amen. I'm serious about that.
I'm not going to be a missionary because I don't have, if I could save up enough money so I could do it, then...
You know, some of you're never going to do anything because you can't save up enough money to do it. I remember talking to my wife and saying, you know, once we have enough money, we'll have kids. Figure out what it costs to raise one from the time they're born to the time they're 18. You'll be shocked. And guess what? You forget it. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Look. The valley, that's when you learn who God is. That's when you learn His grace is sufficient. We literally, I do not to this day know how we made it through college and paid it all off. There's no way I could go back and figure it all out. It's not possible. I don't know as a pastor how we've made it all these years and been able to do the things we do. But look, I have not suffered from it at all. Never. I mean, from college on, I've gained weight. Lost hair and gained weight. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How did David learn that? Because he was with him. Because when the lion came out after the sheep, David said, God, you got to help me with this lion. And he killed the lion. And when the bear came after the sheep out there, there wasn't anybody else David could call on. You know, and here comes a big old bear. Rah! And David killed the bear. Not because David was big, bulky, strong guy. Because God was with David. That's why Goliath wasn't any big deal to David. That's why when Saul said, here, put on my armor, David said, you know, he started to, and he said, this won't work. Just give me my sling. That's how I've fought before. But he had God on his side. Is there not a cause, David said? You say, I don't want a valley, preacher. Then you don't ever want to know who God really is. That's it. Elijah took on the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And you know what God did? He sent fire from heaven. And everybody would say, hey, Elijah, boy, you're our hero. God's with you. But then Elijah found out Jezebel was after him, and he went and sat down by the juniper tree and said, It's almost like he was thinking God's not there. But then God spoke in a still, small voice. But that still, small voice belonged to a great, big God. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Can you imagine that? I mean, this jawbone. I don't, you know, I don't recommend that. 1,000. And you know what everybody would say? Wow, God was sure with you, buddy. Way to go. And Samson sat down after that, and he was thirsty, and he said, I want a drink of water. Why can't I have a drink of water? And he pouted. Where are you, God? And God gave him water out of that very same jawbone. Made a little indent there, and all of a sudden it's full of water and just keeps being full of water. I wonder what's the greatest miracle, killing the 1,000 Philistines or putting the water in that jawbone? I don't know. But, you know, in the valley, Samson had to learn, you know what, I'm with you in the hills, but I'm also there with you in the valley. Elijah had to learn, I'm with you on the hill. Hey, call down fire from heaven. I'll bring it, God says. But you know what, Elijah? I'm with you when you're all alone, too. I'm with you when the people are cheering. I'm with you when the people are making fun of you. Amen. I'm with you all the way. Isn't that good? The God of the hills and the valleys. You got a good job. You make a lot of money. You say, God's really blessing me. But I got news for you. God, if you don't have a good job, but you got food in your belly, God's blessing you too. Amen. Amen. You know, there's Daniel in the lion's den. I'm just saying, God is the God of the hills and the valleys. You know when you see the greatness of God? It's when you're in the valley. That's when you really see God. Because in the hills, yeah, well, maybe you start thinking you did it. Maybe you start thinking that it was luck, which is ridiculous. But boy, in the valley, when you know you're in big trouble and God takes care of you. There was no question who did this. There was no question about it. Because, you know, here they are now. Ben-Hadad's got it figured out. They've got the plan all taken care of. They have a huge army. They're going to fight him in the valley. They're going to win this battle. There's no question in their minds. I mean, the Israelite, there's no way. They've got them right where they want them. But God says in verse 28, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills. By the way, isn't that interesting? God must have heard him say that. You suppose God can hear pretty much everything? Do you suppose God, we're talking about wiretapping now, and that's it's hilarious. We want our privacy, and that's why we all have cell phones. Think about the silliness of that. Hello? Well, they can't. They can. But I don't talk about anything that I don't care. I don't care if they hear what I say. Doesn't bother me. Does it bother you? Anyway, God could hear what was going on there. You suppose God is Ben-Hadad, he's got his people, and they're all looking around. Don't let the Israelites know what we're up to, and there's God. They've got their map all spread out. We'll get them in this valley here. We'll get them surrounded in the valley. Oh, we got them this, and there's God watching. And then they make the dumb statement, well, obviously, their gods can't protect them there in the valley. And God says, you know, can you just see him? I can just see him flexing. Really? Really? Their God can't do what? Do you hear that, Ben-Hadad? No, but I'll repeat it, though. Their God can't protect him in the valley. And now God's got his plan. Why don't you believe that?
Oh, the devil's got me cornered. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in a valley, and the devil's got me, and there's just absolutely no hope for me. It's over.
That's what I say. You want to hear it again? That's when you've walked out. Sometimes I think God in heaven is going, don't you believe God hears the devil's plan? Don't you believe he hears your enemy's plan? Don't you believe he hears those that cornered you and led you to that valley and got you in that valley? Don't you suppose he knows all about that? Don't you suppose he knows about the layoff? Don't you suppose he knows what the doctor's going to tell you? Don't you think he already knows what's cursing through your veins as I speak right now? The virus, the sickness, the problem, whatever it is. Don't you suppose he already knows about that person that's going to stab you in the back? Don't you suppose he already knows they're going to spread rumors about you? Don't you suppose God already knows they're going to gossip about you? Don't you suppose he already knows what's going to happen to you? He heard it, and he would say, well, I guess we'll show them. But you're going, I don't think I can make it. Yeah, come on. He heard him. You know, the king of Israel here, he could have said, we're not going to fight. Are you listening? Verse 29, they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was in the seventh day the battle was joined. Now, in my mind, I kind of wondered about the king of Israel maybe saying, we're dead meat. But the man of God saying, we're not dead meat. And the king of Israel saying, well, yeah, but we're in the valley. And the man of God saying, God's God in the valley. And the king of Israel saying, yeah, but they don't like me. And God and the man of God saying, but if God be for us, who can be against us? I like my gizzard. Just let God take care of your gizzard. It's going to be all right. Are you with me here? And I wonder for 7 days if maybe that didn't happen, because they're ready to fight, but God's people are just sort of waiting around on that one. But see, God wants you to know who he is. And God wanted them to know who he was. Amen. And I believe with all my heart the greatness of God is not seen so much on the hills, but I think the greatness of God comes out in the valley. That's when you'll see it. Oh, the world, who cares? You know, I want them to see that my God is God when I'm up. My God is God when I'm down. When things aren't going like I think they ought to go, my God is still God. My God is still in control. And my God hears all that the devil... And he will. He said, let them know I'm God of both. And I want you to know it too. You know, it's very, very interesting what happens here. Because the Bible says when they finally went to battle, the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. That is an unbelievable thing. That is an amazing, amazing victory, a miracle of God. But I like God's exclamation point in verse 30. God puts an exclamation point on the whole thing. The rest fled to Aphek, into the city. And I'm sure as they fled into the city, they're all going, well, that was close. I'll tell you what, we were going to die. I mean, we could have been killed with that 100,000. And boy, I'll tell you what, oh, we made it. And God said, I heard what you said. There a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. I love that. Can you see them? He said, oh, we made it. Boy, I tell you, I'm glad this wall's here. You're not going to be glad. And the wall fell on him. I can just see God. See, because I see God. I imagine it. And God's out there, and he says, they all there, Gabriel? Yep, they're all there, God. He would love to do that with your problems. He would love to do that with your valley. Now, I don't know, maybe you're on that seventh day where you're trying to decide exactly what to do, but he would love to do that for you. God said, I want you to know I'm God of both. Do you understand unsaved people have great things happen to them? They have good things. They have health and money and good things happen to them. But you know what? In their valleys, they're all alone. All alone. The Christian, when God is your God, you're never alone. You feel good about the hills. I want you to know you can feel real good about the valleys too. You can feel real, real good. If you're here today and you've never been saved, I would urge you to get on the side of the God who can take care of both the hills and the valleys. I would urge you to get the Savior who died on a cross to pay for your sins. I would urge you to call upon him and save you today. Christian, maybe your valley is a valley of sin or fear or persecution or illness or hurt or some kind of sorrow or something like that. God perhaps has let you get in that valley because he wants you to know he's God. He's God. And you know, as the enemy is making their plan and certainly not thinking God can get you out of this mess, as the enemy's doing all that, God's listening in. He knows what's up. And I can just see him flexing his muscles, just waiting to get you out of that valley. I hope you'll let him. God is the God of the hills and the valleys. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.